1 Kings 18 and verses 42 to 45. Rain. Prayer. Now, what do I mean by that title? Well, God has given Elijah the assurance that rain is coming. And Elijah has predicted it most definitely, most clearly to Ahab. He's made the definitive statement, rain is coming. And what does he do? He climbs up Carmel and he begins to pray. Can you not see that there is a seeming contradiction here? Here is a man who has been given a categorical prophecy. Rain is definitely coming. Well, surely now he has a pillow upon which he can sleep. Elijah is shattered at this stage of the day. It's been 3 years of famine and drought. He's been struggling all that time. God has kept him alive, but he's been a minister of judgment. He's had a tremendous day at Carmel. A long day, an emotional day, and he's shattered. There's been the slaughter of the false prophets. It's been a huge, massive meeting there at Carmel, confronting Ahab and the false prophets. Physically, emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, this man is shattered. But instead of making this prophecy a pillow upon which he can sleep, he climbs up Carmel and he begins to pray. Can you not see, my friend, that this seeming contradiction is a tremendous lesson to us? You meet it repeatedly throughout the Bible. We don't live in the day of being able to give these categorical prophecies, but we have the promises of God. What do we do with the promises of God? Do we sit back and say, well, God has promised, and we can relax? No, my friend, those who most strongly believe the promise are most active in prayer and preaching and publishing for Christ. I'll say that again. Those who are most convinced of God's sovereignty, those who believe most strongly in the promises of God and the power of God, are those who are most active for God. And this goes right across the board, whether we're talking about duty faith. Now take duty faith. What is that? The sinner has to repent and believe. The sinner has to be commanded to repent, believe, to trust Christ. But the sinner is dead in sins, and he can't believe. He's powerless. So there's a seeming contradiction here. What do we do? Well, we can fall into one of two camps. We can make it all the power of the sinner, which is not, or we can leave it all to God, which is again is wrong. Arminianism and hyper-Calvinism. What do we have to do? Those who most strongly believe in the responsibility of the sinner and the power of God and the promise of God are most active in preaching to sinners. And though it's a seeming contradiction, though it's a paradox, we still go on preaching duty faith, earnestly, pleading with sinners to be converted. It's the same with progressive sanctification. I've spoken on it many times. It's this old word again, syncretism, not monergism. What do you mean? It's not let go and let God. It's Philippians 2, verse 12 and 13. Work out your own salvation, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to do. And so it is with Elijah here. He has the promise of God. He has the prophecy of God. But he's active in prayer. Duty faith in addressing sinners. Progressive sanctification for the saints. And it goes on and on throughout the Bible. He who believes most strongly in the sovereignty of God and the power of God and the grace of God is most active for him. It doesn't lead to fatalism. It doesn't lead to hyper-Calvinism. It leads to spiritual activity for Christ. Look at William Carey. Robert Hall had preached a sermon at Northampton Association on what? Cast up the way for Zion. What do you mean? Get rid of the obstacles. Let's have a breakthrough with the gospel. Preach the gospel to sinners. And Andrew Fuller writes his book, The Gospel Worthy of All Acceptation. this freeness of the gospel offer, this tremendous responsibility, especially this is what Fuller consecrated on, the duty of sinners to repent and believe. That was his ministry. And what did Carey say? Well, if the gospel is worthy of all acceptation, then I'll go to India and preach the gospel to the Indians. And off he goes. You see, those who most firmly believe in these doctrines and these powers in God are most active for him. Now let's look at Elijah here. He says, the word of God says to us in verse 42, Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel, bent to the ground, and put his face between his knees. Go and look towards the sea, he told his servant. And he went up and looked. There's nothing there, he said. Seven times Elijah said, go back. The seventh time the servant reported, I can see a cloud, as small as a man's hand, is rising from the sea. But that's all it is, you know. That's what he's saying. No, I can see it. So Elijah said, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds. The wind rose. A heavy rain came on, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. Let's look briefly at this prayer. It challenges me. Oh, that I was more of a man of prayer. What do I have here? Well, he gets alone, doesn't he? Alone with God. You get that in Matthew 6:6. Go into your own room, shut the door. Jesus drew apart. That's what prayer is. It's a secret business. It's what we are on our knees. It's what we are before God that we really are. Not in the pulpit, not in the printing press, but in prayer. Look how he humbles himself. He climbs, he bends down, he puts his face between his knees. Some passages of the Bible speak about being prostrate on the ground, kneeling, standing before the Lord, sitting before the Lord. These positions count. We're in the body and it counts. Elijah humbles himself. Can you see he has prayer, which is expectant prayer? He really does believe that God will keep his word. And he sends the man again and again, his servant, to look for it. He's looking for the answer. What are you like, brother and sister, in your prayers? Do you pray but forget all about it? Are you earnest about it? Are you definite about it? This is what this man is. He's expecting. Some people, as Spurgeon said, think that we sow and we pray and we do this and God gives no increase. Oh no, he said, let's go looking. Let's go looking for success. Do you remember the man who came to Spurgeon and complained that? He said, I don't see any conversions, you know, Mr. Spurgeon, in my ministry. So Spurgeon said, well, you don't expect to see somebody converted every week, do you? He said, well, no. He said, well, there's your trouble. There's your trouble. When I was a teacher, I knew that teacher expectation, if I expected them to misbehave, they would misbehave. Teacher expectation goes a long way. So it is in the pulpit. So it is in a Christian witness. So it is in speaking to a neighbor. If we expect nothing in prayer, it's little wonder if we get nothing. So he's humble. He's alone. He's expecting God to answer. He's persistent. He gets disappointment. No, there's nothing there. Go back. No, no, still nothing. No, 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 no. Go back, go back. He keeps on. He's a fervent man, an earnest man. And I know that he's an effectual man because the rain came. You'll read this in James 5, 16 to 18. He's an effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. But Elijah was not a great man. He was a good man. But it's what God can do with a nobody. It's a great God here, not a great man. And the great God is using a weak, feeble man like Elijah. That's what he is. He's a man like us. But the great God is using this man and turning this prayer into a great prayer in the sense that God makes it effectual. Let me remind you, he's alone. He's humble. He's expectant in his prayer. He's persistent, though he's disappointed time and again. He's fervent and earnest, and it's effectual. Remember the syncretism. It's not let go and let God. Remember the duty base. Remember the seeming paradox. Go on with it, my friend, the seeming contradiction. Persist. And if you really do believe the promises of God, turn them into prayer, turn them into preaching, publish for Christ in some way by speaking of him, writing for him, living for him, whatever it is, show Christ to this world. These are words for sinner and saint. Oh, sinner, call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. You have a duty, a responsibility to do it. I urge you to come now. I know you're a dead sinner. I know you have no power in yourself, but I still call you and urge you to come. And child of God, learn from these lessons. Learn from Elijah. May we press on and be fervent and earnest in our prayers, looking to God to fulfill his promise, trusting in the Lord, relying upon him, and showing by our prayers and by our actions and by our preachings and by our lives that we really do believe in the greatness and the glory and the power and the promise of God. Amen.